Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket on a compelling second day here at the Keir Oval, where England are in the ascendancy after some fantastic bowling, some determined resistance by Virat Kohli, a debutant for an Indian batsman that was pretty daunting and intimidating in many ways. But England, with the help obviously of Jos Buttler and Stuart Broad in the morning, plus the bowlers in the afternoon and evening, have really got on top of India, haven't they?
Well, you'd expect them to go on and win the game from here. India were in a decent position yesterday. They let it slip in the morning session. Again, this approach from captains where they only try to get one batsman out, they don't try to get both batsmen out, the field gets pushed back.
I completely agree with you.
It relieves the pressure and it allows someone like Buttler to play with freedom. Got some good support from Stuart Broad, who played excellently, actually. He's about as good as I've seen Stuart Broad bat for a long time. And suddenly, from 181 for 7 yesterday, England up to 332, and you're well in the game on a pitch like this where they're, you know, it's OK for batting, but there's enough in it for the bowlers. You know, every now and again, you're never quite in as a batsman, which is why I don't understand teams just pushing the field back. Try to get Buttler out.
Yeah.
OK, he's going to punish you from time to time, but he also might play an extravagant shot. If the field is up, he might be tempted to play an extravagant shot. OK, he might hit a couple to the boundary, but surely you're going to limit the damage more if you're trying to get him out and just bring that field in. Anyway, you know, captains go that sort of defensive, conservative route. They try to control it, and not for the first time in this series. In fact, I mean, it feels like about the third or fourth time in the series, it has not worked.
Yeah, I immediately thought that when Buttler was playing his measured way, and I couldn't understand it. When Shami came on to bowl, Mohammad Shami, he's, you know, got pace, movement, life out of the pitch, and he was getting the ball to, I described it briefly as a bit like Ian Bishop, which probably was a bit of an exaggeration, but Ian Bishop, when he was in his pomp in the sort of late 80s, early 90s, the West Indian, tall, 6 foot four, pace and swing, and he got the ball to lift off the surface and sort of soar into the wicketkeeper's gloves at chest height, about 25 yards back. He got pace, movement, bounce. He just looked, you know, a terrifying prospect. And Shami was getting that kind of shape today. They had a man back at deep extra cover and two slips to Buttler. Okay, Buttler was on 30-odd, and Buttler was just block into the offside, easy single. There was no pressure applied to him, whereas the lesson that they learnt, I think it was at Trent Bridge, one of the innings, Shami was bowling to him then and dangled a few outside off and Buttler left them alone. Then they changed the field, brought it up. He went for the drive and was caught in the slips. So you've got to try and manipulate the batsman more rather than just letting them get off strike and bowl at the other guy. As you say, Broad played excellently, but I think overall England, I've seen a different mindset in this test match. They've really grounded out. Every single one of them has tried to stick in. I know Bairstow Root didn't last long, but apart from them, everybody's tried to get stuck into their innings. You know, notably, obviously Moeen Ali, Butler, Broad, Rashid, you know, they've all just sold their wicket as dearly as they can, and they've got a decent reward on not an easy pitch.
So are you saying that you think in the future England are going to approach things in a different way? What I'm saying is, do you think it's a sort of sea change? You know, yeah. England have played aggressively. They've gone out and played lots of shots. Do you sense that this is going to be a new England? You know, perhaps, you know, Sri Lanka, West Indies, you know, even next summer, or is it a temporary thing?
I don't think it's a temporary thing. I mean, I think Butler probably is the key to it. And the what I saw from him today, and what I've seen from him in this series. Now, you know, he's passed 1,000 runs in international cricket this summer now, 1,020 runs in all one-dayers and T20s and tests, 1,020 runs, average 56. Mm. What I've seen, I think, in the last couple of tests is a conversion from white ball cricketer to red ball cricketer, someone who not only realises he's got the talent, but the ability and the mindset to bat a long time and allow the play to sort of unfold, and not try and just assert himself and play extravagant shots, but really play a proper innings. He could go well up the order for England because he's got all the game. He's got obviously the shots we've seen, but he's got the defence, he's got the judgment, he's got the footwork, the movement, the straight bat, the concentration. Absolutely fantastic.
Don't tell me England are going to become boring.
But he smacked a couple into the stands at the end of the innings, so I know he's still got that.
But England, we've sort of come to know and love this England side because it is so unpredictable. It's all wild shots, balls going to the boundary, fours, sixes. I mean, it is exciting, and it gives us, you know, obviously gives us plenty to talk about, but. You know, from the history of watching Test cricket, not necessarily the way to approach a Test match game. I mean, it's been a sort of quite a hard-nosed performance from England here in this game.
It has. And particularly the way they bowl. You know, I like the way when England bowled Anderson was off after two overs because he didn't look that good and he obviously wasn't swinging much. You know, one interesting thing, an influence that's really been apparent in this test is the effect of the roller, because the Indians had a light roller on this morning the English had a light roller on the pitch this morning, and because I think they thought they were going to be bowling soon. And the pitch did quite a lot, and they were sort of a bit lucky to survive, but they played well, obviously, and got their 300. But then the Indians put the heavy roller on it, and for about 10 overs, it didn't do very much at all. Broad got an early wicket, but the other batsmen were kind of looking okay, looking comfortable, and then gradually their heavy roller effect wore off, and the ball started to spring off the pitch a bit more. That's when Anderson came back on, and you know, after 20-odd overs. And that contest between Anderson and Kohli in particular was fantastic to watch. You know, there was a period when he bowled two balls to Kohli swinging away, and I think he played and missed at one and got a thickish edge to the other, and then he bowled another one which looked as if it was an outswinger, but it was one of those balls that Anderson just tilts the seam fractionally differently, meant to look like an outswinger, doesn't swing. It went straight. Kohli played for the outswinger, hit on the pad, and I thought, right, that's out. That's got to be out. Mm. Almost a half volley, hit in front of off stump. But umpire Dharmasena gave in favour of the batsman, half an inch either way, hit outside the line, given not out. Anderson absolutely furious. And at that moment, some smoke sort of came across the ground from somewhere beyond the area. And it was. I felt the smoke was coming out of Anderson's ears or off his head, because he was so furious. He's worked so hard to get that wicket of Kohli, and he was denied it by half an inch bit of umpire's judgment.
Well, I think he was denied it by a poor umpiring decision, I think as an umpire, you've got to give those out.
Well, that's what Anderson said.
Yeah, because basically he's done everything right as the bowler. He's pinned him. It's hitting the stumps. It's not like one of those that's sort of nipped back. You think, is that clipping the top of leg stump or something like that? That was clearly hitting the stumps flush on. And, you know, it was umpire's call for impact, so that's fine. You know, if it's given out, it's absolutely fine. The umpire's got the right decision. I think if you pin a bloke like that, your umpire's duty bound to give the batsman out. I'm not saying because it was, you know, because England would have taken the wicket. Other way around, it'd been Root or anyone. I think, you know, when the bowler succeeds, triumphs like that, I mean, it's such a sort of technicality, or, you know, he was he fractionally outside the line? I think it's then for the batsman to review it and get away with it if it's outside the line. So I thought that was a really poor decision. There was actually some quite iffy umpiring in that that last session. I mean, Vihari was given not out and he was out, and England didn't review it because they were a bit nervous about reviewing with Broggs and perhaps don't quite trust his judgment. And then he gave Vihari out and he was not out, and that was overturned. Mm. And then I think even then Joe Wilson, he lost count at one point, and the over was going to continue and it actually had come to an end, and there was, you know, he gave byes against Bairstow, couldn't believe it, and then he changed the decision to leg byes. So you know, the umpire just all went over the cliff in the last session. But the upshot is England are in another very good position. It'll feel quite strange actually if this series finishes
4-1
to England, because I mean India have been in it, they've been fighting hard, and
haven't won the key sessions.
They haven't won the key moments. That's the big thing, isn't it? They've had great positions in this series throughout, but they have not been able to make it count. And probably the deciding factor has been England's power in their batting in the lower order, which is been able to dig them out of trouble.
Butler is their leading run scorer.
Yep, he's got 349 runs in the series, which is not bad when you consider he's number seven. He hasn't always batted at seven. You know, it's very, very useful. Curran, over 250 runs in the series as well. So it's been that power late on that's really helped England. Perhaps India can show some fight on the third day. Jadeja's experienced cricketer, and Vihari, he's quite lucky to be there.
He is, but
10 of them off the top edge early on.
How was that as an induction into Test cricket, an initiation? He comes into bat, Broad and Anderson are bowling and absolutely got a beautiful rhythm going. Mm. The floodlights are on. Yeah. It's overcast. The ball's swinging around and he's making his Test debut. I mean, it doesn't get much tougher.
And you haven't had a warm-up game or anything like that.
No, I mean, it doesn't get much tougher than that, does it? He's got Kohli at the other end and staring down at him, bearing down at him, probably hoping he can come up with something. It reminded me of... It wasn't as intimidating, in a way, as... say Lillian Thompson at the Gabba, but almost as daunting, Broad and Anderson in their own conditions under floodlights making your Test debut, but somehow he's managed to hang on, and that'll do him a power of good, actually.
He did really well ultimately. I mean, to start with, he looked a bit like a walking wicket, as if he could get out at any moment, and he tried his best. Well, the two LBWs you talked about, the top edge one that went for six, one that fell just short of Rashid coming in from fine leg, but he gutsed it out. So what are we going to see?
Stokes did well towards the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
He followed up Anderson's spell extremely well.
We got Kohli for the second time
in
the series.
Out, and the wicket that Anderson probably earned, Stokes actually got or took. But you live and breathe every Kohli innings, don't you? There's so much going on there when he's at the wicket. The expressions. I mean, if he's had a camera on him all the time, it makes it's like a Bollywood movie almost, isn't it? It's fantastic. And he again did just enough to sort of get India vaguely out of trouble, and then got out.
Yeah. He's also, I suppose it's because you're playing in England where there's something there for the bowlers. He's got into that sort of root. Mode as well, where he's been getting scores and not really going on. I know he's got a couple of hundreds, but he's also got 40s and 50s in the series, and I suppose it's the conditions, isn't it? There's always a ball just round the corner with your name on it. It's not like batting in India,
right,
where you get in and you think you're booking in, aren't you? The pitch is so good, you get over the first 20-25 runs, you think, well, you're on for 100, you're on for a really big score. Not been the case.
What about England's catching?
That's the other thing I was going to mention. Suddenly, the catching has come good. Alistair Cook, he
can't drop him.
Well, he's broken a new record as well. No one has taken as many as 13 catches in a series
for
England.
You know why that is?
He's relaxing.
No, because he's got a new baby on the way,
right?
And he can't afford to drop that. So he's getting his hands ready for the dropping of the new child.
Well, that's a novel way of looking at it. But anyway, England suddenly catching well. They've sorted out their slip cord, and Joe Root took a good low catch at second slip as well.
Yeah.
The only problem is, of course, now they're going to have to change it again because it's Cook's last test, so they're going to have to find a new first slip to, in the Sri Lanka series. So
I've got no idea who that is.
Having found a solution...
Well,
we'll see. Having found a solution, they're going to have to find another solution. But, they have caught well... today, good catch from Root, two from Cook. So 158 runs behind India. They've got four wickets left. Vihari and Jadeja together, and then the three bowls. I mean, it feels as if England are going to... I mean, unless...
turning the screw somehow.
Yeah, unless something remarkable happens, it feels as if England, say, are going to get a lead of a minimum 70 or 80, even if India come out and do reasonably well tomorrow. They might have to get back well to get, to reduce the lead to 70 or 80. And then, when you have a lead batting third time round, the pressure is off. Third innings pressure not so great.
It's going to turn this pitch,
and there's something there for Moeen as well. We haven't seen Rashid bowling, England's sixth bowler. I mean, what does he do to get the captain's eye? He may come into it in the second innings, but it feels as if everything is in England's favour after 2 days.
It does, yes. I haven't got any more to add to that. I agree, and so we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see how the third day pans out. Perhaps India can actually start to force their way back into game, win some of the big
moments. It would be nice to
see,
wouldn't it? It would be nice to see, but somehow I can't see who's going to do it. But we predicted yesterday that England would only get about 250. They got 330. And I said India might get a lead. Well, how wrong that'll prove.
Well, if they get a,
probably.
If they get a lead, they'll have had a fantastic morning and early afternoon.
England will be absolutely woeful.
Yeah. Right, so 2 days gone. It feels like 4-1, but let's wait and see. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.